Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Net at Night is provided by AOL Radio at AOL.com/podcasting. This is Net at Night with Amber MacArthur and Leo Laporte, Episode 4 for November 28, 2006. Quinti Venti Latte. Net at Night is brought to you by Dell. For great laptop and desktop deals, check out the Leo's Picks page at twit.tv/Dell. Net at Night is recorded before a live audience on TalkShoe.com. It is 9:08 Eastern Time. That means it's 2:08 Greenwich Mean Time, and it's time to say hello to Net at Night from California. I'm Leo Laporte.
I'm Amber MacArthur from Toronto.
And you are all on Talk Shoe. Amber, it's been a fun week. Did you have a good week?
I actually had a really good week.
I'm waiting for Amber someday to say, Leo, I had a crappy week.
You're waiting for that to happen.
It's never happened.
Leo, that's not true.
Sorry.
It happens once in a while. But I had a good week this week. I did lots of fun stories on City News International. And it went pretty well. And, you know, also in Toronto, the weather's been great. Literally.
It's a heat wave.
It's a little bit of a heat wave.
It's warmer in Toronto than it is here.
It's pretty amazing.
And, of course, Vancouver, where we're moving the show in a couple of months, more on that later, is snowing.
I know. I heard that news. That's not so good, because Vancouver doesn't get a ton of snow unless you're up in the mountains. So it's quite surprising. And literally, in Toronto, 2 days ago, I was getting coffee, of course, and someone was at my local coffee shop with flip-flops on.
Oh,
I couldn't believe it.
Of course, as soon as it's time for me to go out to Canada, which I'll be doing in about 2 weeks, it'll be freezing again.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, the coldest it ever was in Toronto was in December, so I'm ready. I've got my snowsuit, and I'll be ready.
You're all set.
I will be ready. So good. I'm glad you had a good week. I had a pretty good week, too. It was Thanksgiving here in the States, and so I took a couple of days off. That usually means a crazy week because I got to prepare and tape ahead, and we did that. We had some good shows, though. A really good Windows Weekly talking about Vista. Talking about Vista Security and Security Now with Steve Gibson. He's going to join us in a little bit, by the way. And I just bought myself a new Dell laptop to run Vista, so I'm excited about that.
I got. Leo, how many computers do you have?
God, in this room.
How many?
I don't know. A lot.
Like 10?
Maybe it's been as high as 13, and now you know it's. There's two in front of me right now. There's a Windows and a Mac, Mac Pro, and then a Windows Shuttle running. That's what Runnin's Edition is recording this. Dane has my tablet PC. I have 1, 2, 3 Mac laptops. I have a mini. That's all. How many do you have?
Really, I only have 3. I have a PC, I have a laptop at work, and I have an iMac, and I have a MacBook as well.
Oh, that's you MacBook got a MacBook. That's right. I forgot you got the MacBook.
Yeah, that's the one that come. And I gave my old PowerBook to my sister-in-law. So
the one that you drilled into?
Yeah, maybe.
Has she had any trouble with it? Is she calling you up saying, "Hey, Amber, things keep falling off of this"?
No, she hasn't. She hasn't called me up at all. But I think it's working fine, and she loves it. Except my brother is very angry at me because he says that it's become sort of an extension of her life now. She carries it with her everywhere because it's so tiny. I mean, it's so easy to pick up those 12-inch PowerBooks and just cart them around anywhere.
It is. Yeah.
And she loves it, so she's online all the time, and she doesn't ever want to get off. So she sits in front of the TV with her computer, and she's constantly hooked up to the internet. So instead of
who do I know that does that?
I know. It's really bad, Leo. I do the exact same thing. But you know what? It's good. You feel like you're productive.
Amber's the biggest geek I know. she has the computer in front of her all the time.
You know what? People keep telling me that. I'm starting to wonder if maybe that's abnormal and healthy.
It's normal in my book. I mean, I don't think there's a waking moment. That I don't have a computer in front of me, including in bed when I get up in the morning. I roll over and open the laptop. So maybe that's just an occupational hazard. Or maybe we're really sick puppies.
Yeah, I'm wondering, because when I tell people, you know, people at work, a lot of them tease me sometimes about always having my computer with me, because I carry my MacBook around the studio and I shoot with it. And I take it with me out on the street to shoot with. And it's, you know, because I'll have videos loaded up on it that I want to talk about. And so they never see me without it. So it really is like, an, you know, some women have, you know, a little Louis Vuitton purse. I have a nice white MacBook.
I think that's completely appropriate. It's very, and you always look very elegant.
Oh,
you'd think for the amount of time I spend on the net, I've done better on the Guess the Logo contest on guessthelogo.com.
Oh, yes.
What, you want me to tell you my score so you can mock me?
Should we tell people what it is first?
Yeah,
or?
Go ahead.
Okay, so this is our first little bit of news. It's called guessthelogo.com, and it's a place where you can go and you can test your knowledge of Web 2.0 logos. It's very fun. I found it on a great Australian blog called Mashup, which is on my site, ambermac.com, and you can go there and you can see if you know the difference between all the, you know, a Flickr logo that's designed in six different ways, or
it's
Google
hard.
Or eBay. It's quite hard, I have to say.
I only got 21%. I was doing really well. I got like the first four, and then four in a row, I got them all wrong. I click. You get six choices, and I clicked five times before I got the right one. How did you do?
You know, I think I got about four of them right. And it was funny because the ones that I got right were the Flickr logo, because it's so distinguishable just mm-hmm. because of the pink R and the little gamma. And so that one, I got that literally within 2 seconds. YouTube, I found really easy. eBay was fairly easy. But the one that I was surprised I kept screwing up on was the Google logo.
Yeah. But, you
Isn't
know, they, this is hard. I mean, they don't make it easy on you. They're only slight differences. Okay, I just clicked Flickr 5. Finally, I got it the sixth try. YouTube's pretty easy.
YouTube's pretty easy.
Yeah, I got YouTube.
And then Netflix I couldn't get either because it was kind of hard.
I got Netflix because I do that a lot, but IMDb I missed.
Yeah.
That was a
It's hard. So people can go to guessthelogo.com and just try it out. I think there's about six of them, maybe seven of them, that you can test.
No, there's 10. There's 10 tests.
Okay, there's 10 of
them.
Yeah.
And I only got 2 out of 21%, whatever that is. They you lose 2 seconds for each wrong answer, and they time you. But then if you look at the end, you get to the end, it's to people who are the top scorers. Some of these guys got, one guy got 100% in 8 seconds. It's like click, 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 click.
But he was probably practicing.
He's cheating.
He could do it over and over and
he's
over again.
Cheating.
Although I could be wrong, but I did it about 10 times, and I think that they move the logos around each time, which is a good idea, because otherwise you just, you know, become very familiar with the logo. Actually,
I couldn't figure out MySpace. You must have gotten MySpace right away.
Yeah, I think I got MySpace right away too. But Netflix, some of the others, I didn't get very quickly. But like I said, Flickr, I was amazed how fast I got Flickr, and I think it's because that was the first Web 2.0 logo that I really, you know, thought that it kind of had that Web 2.0
right,
look.
And right.
Spelling was different, and instead of a tagline, it just said gamma on it. And you know, they really had all of the elements of Web 2.0, like paint.
What does that gamma mean?
I don't know.
It says gamma.
Yeah.
It doesn't say Flickr.com, your photos here. It says gamma.
Someone's saying gamma after beta is second after beta.
So it's not a beta anymore. It's a gamma?
Yeah.
Did it ever say alpha and beta?
I'm not sure. But it's kind of interesting because if you go through Flickr, I love all their little sentences and all the feedback that you get while you're going through the site. They're just really smart about all these quirky little things that they do to make it kind of different.
Oh, Flickr's great. Just the way when you log in, it says something different each time, namaste or good day.
I love that.
Yeah.
Or even when you go to the Flickr site and you have an option to log in via your Yahoo account or via Flickr, and it says old school members for the Flickr people, so you don't have to go through Yahoo, which I love.
That's me. So I've been a Flickr Pro account holder for 2 years because you signed me up. You got me a Pro account, actually. I credit you.
Yeah.
But Amber, dear, you haven't uploaded a picture in months.
I know. It's been a while. You know, you wonder why, Leo? Because I used to travel a lot and I would always take photos. And in the past few months, I haven't gone anywhere.
No, I'm the same way. All the pictures are from my cruises. I never took pictures any other time. Or I did, but I just never uploaded them. But now I have it tied to my Nakama cell phone account, so there's more pictures there.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, but they're crappy. They're cell phone pictures.
Oh, see, that's a thing. I know.
Yeah.
I need to be away somewhere to really want to take a lot of photos. But it hasn't.
I'll upload a bunch. I on my Flickr account, which is Leoville, Leoville. I'll upload a bunch because I just got back from Alcatraz.
Ooh, how is that?
It was really neat. You've been there, right?
Yeah.
That's the big prison island in the middle of San Francisco Bay, and I'd never been there. And wow, is that the coolest? If you ever get a chance to do it. I always thought, oh, it's a touristy thing. I won't do it. It's a great tour. They have a cell block audio tour that's narrated by the guards, former guards, and former prisoners. So it's very real. There's a moment in it. This has nothing to do with Annette, but I can't. I gotta talk about it. First of all, it's chilling to go there. It's really a hardcore prison. And there's a moment they name the aisles of the cell blocks. There's Broadway. There's CD. On CD is where you want to be because the sun sets. When the sun sets, it comes in the window and you get a little sunlight in the cells. And one prisoner is reminiscing about being in that cell. He says, those are good cells because on New Year's Eve, if the wind is just right, you can hear the yacht club across the bay. You can hear the party and you can hear people's voices and you can hear them having a good time. And they play the sounds of it. And it's very dramatic.
Wow. So what time did you go again, Leah? Did you say?
It was late afternoon.
Okay. I went on a night tour when I went.
Oh, that's supposed to be very cool.
It was very cool and very scary at the same time, but
I want to do a night tour. I'm going to go back. We didn't have enough time there. I really enjoyed it. But if you go to my Nakama account at nakama.ca, I was taking cell phone pictures the whole time, as well as I must have looked like such an idiot because I take every picture twice. I take it in a cell phone picture, and then I take a Nikon picture, and then a cell phone picture, and then a Nikon picture. So, but there's
hey,
a
Leo,
lot
I have
of
to,
pictures. Yes.
I have to ask you, while you're at Alcatraz and you're with your family, and you're taking photos with your phone, probably trying to get them perfect, and then sending them to Nakama to get them posted online.
Yeah.
What does your family look at you funny?
Only when I started chatting with you. So I've got the BlackBerry in one hand, I'm chatting. I've got the cell phone in the other hand, I'm taking a picture and uploading it. And I've got the Nikon around my neck taking a picture. Yeah, I look like a complete moron.
Oh, no.
Not just my family, the entire crowd I'm with on the tour is going, well, who's this guy? What's wrong with him?
Just don't worry. I'm a
professional. I know what I'm doing. Fortunately, I'm wearing my Scott E vest, which has 43 pockets. So
oh,
I have,
perfect.
You know, I really look weird because I'm pulling stuff out. And then my daughter didn't want to, you know, she bought some prison stuff and she didn't want me to carry it, didn't want to carry it. So she gives it to me. So the Scotty vests, the jackets have a pouch in the back for a laptop. So she unzips the back, puts this bag in. I look like I've got a bustle. I've got a lump sticking out. You know, anybody who saw me knows that there was a weirdo at
it's okay, Leo. We still love you.
All right. So now that you've taken the guess the logo, where else should we go? Should we go to the Iris design site for Web 2.0 buttons? What is that?
You know what, Leo? I just wanted to mention this quickly because obviously a lot of the Web 2.0 design that's done on the internet is done, I think, really well. It's very, very nice look to it. They use a lot of chunky buttons. And for people who don't know how to make buttons that look like Web 2.0 buttons, there is this great site that has a quick tutorial about how to make these buttons in Photoshop. And I know there are some button generators as well on the web, but they tend to be more square-looking buttons.
No, this is the way to do it for sure.
The way to do it. So you can actually check out the site in this tutorial, and they'll have a list of exactly how to quickly, and it's quite easy to create your own button and just look, you know, you really get that polished professional look. And I think, you know, when you go to a website, you can tell right away if it's got that Web 2.0 kind of new design look or if it's an old school website. So I recommend this to anyone.
These are those kind of glossy, shiny buttons that Apple actually first did. And now it's part of Aero Glass, and Windows Vista is very much part of Aero Glass. You know, it's funny that you should pick this up because Alex Lindsay was on Call for Help. We just taped it last time, and it's probably going to air in a couple of weeks, showing how to do this as well. And I think it's pretty much, it's not quite the same. There's various ways to do this. So he's got somewhat similar, a couple of the same steps anyway.
Yeah, it's pretty easy. I'm actually going to post the link in the chat room right now, but we'll also put it on twit.tv, right?
Like, right. I've got the show notes. You know what I haven't done, and I apologize, is, you know, we made a Net at Night site, and I've kind of let it lag after episode one. I don't know if people go there. So, and we have so many other places. You're putting it all up on your site on ambermac.com. We do have it on twit.tv in the show notes, and I think that's probably enough. I don't know. Do you think we need another site, a blog?
No, Leo, I think twit.tv is the best place to have it. So I'm kind of thinking we should almost
just leave it there.
Just leave it, and then maybe clean up we can clean up the page and just have it kind of forward to twit.tv or something.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good idea. So yeah. I apologize. That was fun. I learned about WordPress. I like doing that kind of stuff because I get to learn about the software. WordPress is really amazing. Tried a lot of plugins, learned a lot. So that was fun.
Yeah. Quick, and all the...
Go ahead.
All the links are on twit.tv because someone's saying, well, we need a place to get all the links. But if you go to twit.tv to the left-hand navigation, third down, I think it's Net at Night, and you can get all the links per episode. So that's really the place to go.
It won't be up, though, until that's the one problem is I don't put it up until the podcast goes up on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. So if you want it between now and then, that's what I was thinking for the blog. Well, I don't know.
You know what, Leo? If you go to the Delicious feed that we have, then I'm tagging
all the articles
we're talking about, so it's all there. So you can just go to the Delicious site, and I also have that on my site as well, just on amvermac.com.
Our tag is NATN. In fact, people can also submit stuff to us just by tagging any article, NATN, and then we'll see it. We're not using the 4-colon technique. We're just use NATN, just use a tag. I like
That's
Delicious.
It.
The more I use Delicious, the more I find it useful.
I do. It's just simple. I really like it. I have it on MySpace as well now and just on my site, and I'm using it at work. So it's so handy because you come across so much great stuff and you forget about it all the time.
Now, speaking of MySpace, you ask an interesting question here. How do you get, and when you go to MySpace, if you're on MySpace, there's a little icon that says you're online.
Yeah. I was actually wondering, because what I was thinking was I would love to have my website reflect if I'm on MySpace or not. So I was wondering, right now I have a link on the top right-hand side to my MySpace account, and I was wondering, and I thought I would ask this while there are people in the chat room, if anyone knows if there's a way that you can have that little, Online Now logo appear on your own blog. I'm using TypePad right now, and so that you could see that you were online instead of people having to go straight to your MySpace account, and I don't know how to do it.
An interesting question. You can do it with AIM and stuff like that, but it would be nice. I see you've changed your profile picture to that. Boy, that's kind of a sexy picture you got there.
I just put it up right now. I think I'm going to take it down.
No. I like it. I like it. You're wearing like a space outfit.
It's kind of spacey, but...
And I've never seen you do your hair like that. You kind of have it flipped over.
I'm tinkering with stuff all the time. So I had all these photos done in this abandoned church in Toronto, and it's all graffiti. So I just went there and we took a bunch of photos. So it's kind of neat, But I just like mixing up the photos because I like changing the page, because I think when people go to your website or MySpace, if there's something small that's changed, you get that feeling that you're kind of updating it all the time. So I think that's a good thing to do.
Probably time for me to change my page.
That was a really subtle hint at you, Leo.
Just for that, I'm never changing my page.
I'm just kidding. I love your site. I love your photo.
Really? That 14-year-old? God. Not the one with the dress. You haven't seen my... I have a picture of me as a teenager on there now.
Oh, yeah. No, that's the one I saw.
Yeah, that's the one you're talking... Yeah. You're talking about quick thumbnail. I'm going to throw something in. We did on the radio show today. Somebody asked, how do I make a fav icon? That's the little tiny icon that you get when you go to a website, and it becomes, MySpace has the little MySpace logo, and Yahoo has a little Yahoo logo. If you go to twit.tv, we've got the little Twit yoga logo. And I found a really nice little favicon generator that does it, very simply and automatically for you. It's from chami.com, chami.com. But if you just Google favicon and take the second choice, not the first, it does a really nice job. And this is funny because the guy who wanted this is a caterer. He's a kosher caterer. And he had a picture of a hamantaschen. You know what a hamantaschen is?
No, what is
it? It's a wonderful... Dane's laughing. It's a wonderful triangular pastry with poppy seed. It's delicious. It's not too sweet. It's really good. It's for Purim. And his logo is two hamantaschen rotated, so it's the Star of David. And it's really a cool logo. And he wanted to make that a favicon. I said, well, I don't know. That's awfully detailed. But I ran it through this favicon generator. It looks great. So it just shows you can make a favicon out of almost anything. You're going to show us very how to cool. make a quick thumbnail.
Okay. This is a great site that I had just come across recently. It's called quickthumbnail.com. And what it allows you to do is to quickly resize photos.
Oh, I like
and
this.
I know you can go, you have lots of, probably widgets and all these other programs you can use, but this is really fast. And I know people who are blogging and constantly putting photos online, you need to be able to quickly crop the pictures. And this is a great way to actually have the same size all the time. You can do thumbnails, other sizes, and really quickly on quickthumbnail.com, you can crop them and do it literally within seconds.
And then then you get the image and you can right click it and save it. Is that what you'd
exactly.
probably want to do with it? Wow, that's neat. Yeah, I just did it. It was very quick. I made a nice little hamantaschen. Doesn't that look good? It looks good. I want one. I'm in the mood now. Purim's not for months. I don't know what I'm going to do. Do they make hamantaschen any other time of the year?
I guess so.
Dane says yes. That's quickthumbnail.com. Why do people do stuff like this?
Why do they create these sites?
I guess there's ads on it. Maybe they can make a little money. There's a little tiny Google ad on it.
Well, you know what? I was thinking about this today, and I really think that with the internet, a lot of people want to, you know, create things and kind of be the first person to create them or, you know, have the best site. There's so much opportunity for everybody out there, and it really is just equal playing field. And if you do something good, then a lot of people will come and pay attention to you. You don't need a lot of money to, you know, draw people in. And I think that, you know, that's a pretty attractive proposition for a lot of people.
I have to tell you that this site, anybody could have done it. It's trivial to do. It uses GD, probably. Or one of the similar PHP resizing capability. I mean, this you could write in 5 minutes. So he did it, and he made it easy.
Exactly.
So it's kind of neat.
Well, there's a lot of sites out there that have become really popular that, you know, some of them are relatively basic.
Right. But people use them.
Yeah, exactly. Someone's asking me to go bother Jason Calacanis and gave me his AIM.
I'm not going to AIM Jason Calacanis. We're not going to talk to Jason. You know, we are going to talk in a few minutes to an old friend. A man we've had on many times on a call for help who wanted to say hi to you and be part of the show. But we're running about 8 minutes behind, so it's only 20 minutes into the show, so we'll give him a few more minutes. I want to get a few more things off the list here because you sent us such a long list of cool
stuff. Sorry, Leo.
this is what the show's all about. GoDaddy will call you now when you register.
Okay, this is really bizarre. I registered a website last week, and I registered with GoDaddy, and literally within hours of registering the site, I got a call on my cell phone from GoDaddy that said, hey,
hello, this is GoDaddy. Was it a robot voice or a real person?
No, it was a real person.
Really?
And they said, hey, you know, we're happy to see that you've registered a new domain name. If you need any other services like hosting packages, just let us know. But very polite, not pushy. Do you have any questions about managing your site or doing anything? And then finally, the guy was so nice. And then I had to go. And I said to him, I said, listen, you've been an advertiser for my podcast for over a year. So I'm totally familiar with how things work. And I appreciate you calling me. But they were really great. And
now, do you think this is a good thing or a bad thing? I don't want a marketing call. You think it's a good thing?
I don't think it's necessarily a good thing. I think you should have an option to say you don't want them to call you. But Leo, on the other hand, if you know it is someone who is new to registering a domain name, because a lot of people get confused by that.
No, I agree.
It's a great thing, right?
Yeah, no, I agree. I have mixed feelings about it because now they have my phone number, right? And I don't want a marketing call. My numbers are all unlisted. I don't want to hear from somebody. You know, the same thing happens sometimes when I'll order online. A lot of companies do this. They call it the upsell. Hey, Mr. Laporte, I saw you. In fact, it just happened. I ordered a big screen TV. So you ordered the big screen TV. Is there some reason you ordered the 5060? Is there some reason you didn't order the 5070? I said, no, tell me about it. He said, well, for $20 more, you get this. And I actually did. I upgraded. And they said, and by the way, you didn't get an extended warranty on that thing. And I ordered it because I bought it from gray market. It's not a authorized dealer of this brand. And so it's not warrantied by the company. They won't warranty it. So I had to buy the extended warranty.
If you were someone who, if you had the option to maybe opt in to the phone call, that might be good.
They should have a checkbox. But it bugs me. I don't like, especially because my numbers are unlisted. I didn't give you permission to call me.
Yeah, I don't necessarily like it. I think it's interesting. I mean, if you think about the number of people who are registering at GoDaddy, I think it's pretty interesting that they are going to actually call someone up.
GoDaddy's been very good. You know, you sign up at GoDaddy, there's 50 checkboxes, boom, 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 the whole way. You know, to sign up for other stuff. They're very good at, you know, upsell. That's their technique.
That really is.
Yeah.
So Leo, I have a couple of video things to mention, television and online video. One thing that I thought was really neat, I don't know if anyone is a fan of Degrassi, but it's a show that I think your kids like it, don't they, Leo?
They love it. It's a Canadian show about high school. Yeah. I don't know how they found out about it, but they love it.
Yeah. It's so popular. It's really one of the most popular Canadian shows.
It's been going for 20 years, right? Something like that.
Yeah, it's been around for a long time.
But those kids must be like 40 years old. It kind of looks weird, doesn't it?
Kids, Leo.
Hey, yeah, I'm at Degrassi. I've been here for 20 years.
It's a great show.
They must upgrade the cast, right? They don't.
Oh, yeah, they definitely upgrade the cast. The show has changed as well. But they do, you know, do a wonderful job of it. And the interesting thing, CTV, which is a major network here in Canada, what they're doing now, instead of just offering the entire episode each week of Degrassi online, they're actually offering the episode of Degrassi online before it even airs on television.
Yes.
So amazing, huh? The morning, it airs on a Wednesday night, and at, I think, 9 a.m. in the morning, CTV at ctv.ca, you can go there, and you can get the entire, you can watch the entire episode online. So I think that's a real big move.
Do they take the commercials out, or do they leave them in?
I can't remember. I just watched the beginning of it. I didn't watch the whole episode.
So I think this is, we're starting to see this a lot. I mean, CBS is doing this now. You can watch Studio 60. Now, they leave the commercials in, but you can watch it on the net. But I love the idea of doing it before it airs. Didn't Battlestar Galactica pioneer that? I think they did. Or maybe it was right after it aired. But I think that's fantastic.
I think a lot of people have done it right after it's aired. But I just, I really think it's cool to see them doing it before and just, you know, recognizing that, hey, you know, it's important for us to do this. Someone's just saying there's only one commercial per break or
fantastic.
Something like that.
I just think that's great. Yeah.
I know.
So Ricky says 1995 just called. They want MySpace.com back. Yeah, I agree.
It's the worst design ever.
Now, were you jealous when the BBC signed up the YouTube girl to be their gadget reviewer?
Yes, this is other news that was on the BBC site, is that a girl who was on YouTube who was doing gadget reviews, she got a job at BBC. So I think that's pretty impressive to see people who are using YouTube really as a platform to...
Is this the first time somebody's gotten a job from YouTube?
I don't think so, because I think Carson Daly actually has a show, and I don't know if it's coming out yet, but it's called something like it's Your Show or It's something along those lines. But
he stole our the name for our podcast book.
He really did. I know. I'm still angry about that. But I think he hired some young girl who was on YouTube as well. She was about 16 years old. And quite a few people have done that to date. So.
And there are many successes on YouTube, like OK Go, that got discovered on YouTube, even though they've been around. So YouTube's really turned out to be a very, very valuable medium, hasn't it, for publicizing?
Oh, it really has.
Yeah.
This is interesting, too. I'm just going to post this in the chat room, but FameWave.com is a site out of Australia where what they're trying to do is kind of leverage the whole idea that people will use YouTube or an online video site to promote their talents. And so FameWave is exclusively for people who want to showcase their talents, whether they're singers or dancers or actors. So FameWave.com. So kind of interesting to see someone say, hey, this is going to be kind of like an online audition / form for people.
You did a great story on Friday on a Canadian Idiot, which I I just thought that was hysterical. It's a new Weird Al song. I think it's new. Making fun of the Green Day song, American Idiot.
Yeah, it came out, his album that came out, I think, in September. He released a song at Canadian Idiot where he does make fun of Canadians, but kind of in an amicable way.
I'm interested because as a Canadian, do you find it insulting or no?
I don't find it insulting at all. And in fact, I went down the street in Toronto and asked a bunch of people what they thought. And
let me play a little bit of it so you can hear a little bit of it.
Don't want to be a Canadian idiot.
It sounds just like Green Day.
Don't want to be some bear swill and hockey nut. And do I look like some frostbitten hose head?
All right, we get the idea. It's kind of an insult a little bit. Beer swilling hockey nut.
But, you know, it's funny because when I was interviewing someone, what they said was that, you know, Weird Al is always someone. That's the whole nature of Weird Al,
that's,
right?
That's the way it is.
That's just the way it is. Yeah. And what's neat in the story that I ended up doing is that there is no video that's come out yet for this actual song. And so what a bunch of kids did is they went on YouTube and they created their own video. And there's a group of kids from somewhere, I can't remember what state
they're
from.
There's a ton of them. If you search YouTube for Canadian Idiot, there's dozens.
No, but there's a group of kids who created one video, which is just fantastic. They did the best job, I think. And I'll try to find a link.
It's the one where he hits the guy with a hockey stick?
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
The one you showed on the TV, yeah. But there's a lot of them. I mean, just do a search for Canadian Idiot. You'll find. Here's one with a Degrassi, some video from Degrassi.
Oh, wow. Well, Weird Al, you know, he's done a lot of stuff to kind of become popular again online. I mean, he's really using the web to kind of reach out to people, and he's giving away a lot of his songs and asking people to mash them up. He's on MySpace. He's pretty much everywhere, so it's pretty hilarious.
I wonder, so he probably doesn't mind.
I don't think he minds at all. Yeah.
It's probably good for him. I hope he doesn't mind that we just played about 10 seconds of that song on the show.
Have you actually seen the White and Nerdy video? I just saw this in chat room and I have.
Yes. Oh my God. It's hysterical.
That is hysterical.
Yeah. That's probably on YouTube as well.
Yeah, that's definitely on YouTube. That's all over the place. That is one of the funniest videos I've ever seen.
See, traditionally, you never would restrict. I mean, the whole idea of a music video is to publicize a song. So that's an example of something where people would want it to be on YouTube, because the more people who see it, the better, right?
Well, yeah. And if you look at what he's saying in the song, he's kind of, you know, making fun of a lot of people who are online a lot.
Why nerdy?
The lyrics. Yeah.
I suppose I might as well play a little bit of this as well. Oh, wait a minute. Now, here's a guy. This is a kid lip-syncing to it and playing in the background. Okay, a little hint. If you're going to make a lip-syncing video, get the soundtrack right there on the track. Here we go. This is the original video.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
It's been an old way, my front lawn. I know they're all thinking I'm so wide and nerdy.
So what is this? What is this? Is obviously it's a rap song. Do you know what the original? I don't know what it's a parody of.
Oh, I do know the original.
Oh, you're too hip. You're hip, but I don't know. I can't remember.
Riding Dirty.
Riding Dirty.
Chat room again.
Okay, thank you. Before we get to our guest of the evening, Steve Gibson, it might be a good time to remind everybody that there are just a few more weeks left in our Dell specials, our Twit specials. Go to the Leo's Picks page, twit.tv/Dell. And I have a link there to the laptop I just bought, to the desktop we just bought for Call for Help, the XPS. Ooh, is that slick. And also to some more affordable systems as well. But even if you're not going to buy the systems I've picked, you could buy anything from Dell. If you go through the Dell link on that page, we get credit for it. That's twit.tv/Dell. We really thank Dell for their support and encourage you. If it's time to get a new PC, you're getting ready for Vista, consider Dell. It's all we've bought over the last 10 years on the TV shows. And boy, I'll tell you, we've never regretted it. The best hardware out there. twit.tv/Dell. You want to call Steve now?
Yes.
We should. Poor guy's been sitting there listening to the show. Let's bring Steve Gibson in. He is, of course, from GRC.com, the host of Security Now on the Twit Network. And he said, I want to be on the show. So we said, but of course. Hey, Steve.
Hello, my friend.
Hi, Steve.
Hi, Ever. I was listening to you guys. I caught up on the last three episodes, or the first three episodes of Net at Night a couple days ago, actually on a Macintosh that I have sitting here next to me. And I thought, oh, I miss Amber.
Aww.
I haven't seen her, talked to her. And it just looks, it sounded like you guys were having fun just kind of talking about stuff. And so I thought, hey, I just want to come on and say hi.
You're not mad at us for talking about your quad venti coffees?
Well, I got a kick out of it because I've now stepped up to 5-shot lattes. I now walk into Starbucks and I hold up my hand with all 5 fingers outstretched in order to remind them that I'm.
You drink a coffee that has 5 shots in it?
It's good.
And a little bit of milk?
Well, I do it with no foam.
That's different.
It's diluting the shots as much as, and I mean, Amber knows a venti is a big cup. I mean, that's, you know,
how many of those a day?
Well, normally, well,
tell us the truth.
Okay. I'm thinking, I mean, I make myself what Starbucks calls an Americana, which is just like a latte bowl that I nuke of hot water. And then I do a double shot. I think I've had about 5 of those so far, just here, and you know, because I have a professional espresso machine that's like plumbed into the kitchen. So you know,
people wonder why Steve never pauses for a breath. Now
that's
they know.
Why?
Yeah, I breathe afterwards.
Yeah, he'll breathe when he's dead.
Yeah. So anyway, I did get a kick out
how,
of
how
the,
much. First of all,
coffee
you,
discussion.
What do you call it? A quinte latte?
There isn't a good name. So now I just say, well, and I think they might sort of like get confused if I tried to do it something else. But you're right. I mean, quad, what's after a quad? It would be quintessential. How about a quintessential?
Quinte latte. And how
no
much
foam.
Is a no foam quinte five, no foam 5-shot venti latte?
Actually, no, I'm not sure because I have a Starbucks card.
Oh, my goodness.
That, you know, and I just reloaded it. I put $250 on it just because, you know, I wanted to be able to use it for a few more weeks. Exactly.
Holy
so
cow.
Anyway, I do enjoy my coffee.
Why don't you just shoot it? Just shoot it right up. Get it right in the vein.
The thing I wanted to tell Amber, and Leo, you've already heard me talking about this, but Amber probably hasn't. I am really falling in love with Macs.
Oh, wow. Really?
I have a little Mac Mini, but then I received actually as a gift a MacBook Pro. And at first, you know, it's funny because when I first got it, it's like, what? Okay, I'm glad to kind of have it because it's gorgeous and cool and everything. But I was thinking, what am I going to do with this? So the first thing I did was I installed Boot Camp, of course, so I could dual boot and put Windows on. And it came with an 80 gig drive. So, of course, I chopped it in half and thought, okay, half for the Mac, half for Windows. And so, you know, I was booting sort of either way, Windows or the Mac, but I would sort of boot the Mac sometimes and poke around. And as I was using it, I was thinking, wow, this is really clean. And I mean, I was starting to like the Mac more and more. So after a few weeks, I got rid of Boot Camp, which, you know, gave the whole hard disk back to the Mac. And then I reinstalled it and only gave Windows 20 gigs this time. So Mac had 60. And that went for a couple of weeks. Then I removed it again and gave Windows only 10 gigs. And so it kept getting you know, Windows was getting squeezed off the end of the hard drive.
Oh my goodness.
And finally, I just said, forget this. I'm really liking the Mac.
So you took Windows off?
So, well, then, of course, Parallels happened, and Parallels is a perfect solution for people who still want to have Windows around, but, you know, mostly want to use the Mac.
So now we know that Steve will both breathe and use the Mac when he retires.
Actually, I have to say, I think something is going on with Apple. I mean, I've got a couple friends that are looking at MacBooks for the first time. I mean, these are dyed-in-the-wool Windows guys, the way I have always been.
So guess what? So Mr. Contrarian here, I'm starting to like Vista more and more, and I just bought a Dell laptop to run Vista on.
You know, I keep hearing you talk because I listened to you and Paul on Friday. Do you have Vista? We have to get you a copy of Vista.
No, he's going to arrange an MSDN.
Well, I realize we both received business cards from a Vista guy, a Vista PR guy, who I think he had something to do with security. And so if you could find that card, Leo, I know he would set you up with Vista.
No, I could get Vista. I'm not worried about that too much. I bought an Xbox 360. I bought I signed up for Xbox Live. I bought TV shows on Xbox Marketplace, and I bought a Vista laptop. I think something's going on. I there's something wrong. I don't understand. I am going Windows.
Well, I think we're all crossing over. And I mean, you know, if Apple does a phone and they add that to their iPod and these beautiful notebooks they've got, I mean, it's a very compelling offer there.
Amber, did you see the iPhone, or actually they call it the iTalk ad that was on Google Video?
No, I haven't yet.
Oh, you're going to want this. Go to Google Video and do a search for iTalk. It's from an ad agency, I think, Christopher DeSantis, the DeSantis brothers. It is so pro. I'm going to play a little bit of it here. You can hear the audio anyway. But it is this beautiful silver thing. It's floating through space. It folds open. The top and the bottom both fold open to display a touch screen. It can show video. It can dial. On the other side, a camera and a iPod scroll wheel. I mean, and somebody comments on Google Video, if this were real, I would buy this. I would buy this for $1,800. I would get this no matter what. So it's possible, you know, if Apple does something really spectacular with an iPhone, I think you might be right, Steve. I think they could. Nobody knows design better, I think, than Apple right now. Nobody's doing
well. You know, and when as I've been thinking about what it is that I've found on the Mac, it's you know, as I get to know it more and more, and I appreciate what Mac-ness means and what Mac-ness is. It's that. Clearly, the system was designed by designers, and then it was coded by coders. And that's not the way Microsoft has ever worked. You know, I mean, they've got random interns that are there for the summer that are creating core pieces of Windows. And these are people who have no design experience, who are programmers that you know write software that we see. Now, certainly, things like Office, you know, 2007 is an example of something which is, you know, designed first and then coded later. But it's still dragging along all of the Windows stuff with it. And I just you know, the more I use the Mac, the more I really enjoy it.
Amber, did you ever have to use Windows?
Oh, yeah. I worked for Microsoft for 2 years.
Oh, that's right.
And she has a PC as one of her three machines there.
I worked for Microsoft for 2 years, and so I was using Windows all the time.
They would make you use it? I mean, you couldn't go in there and use your Mac?
Well,
because you were working for a website, you weren't.
Yeah, and that's true. And what would happen is I would have my iMac at home, and I would actually have Photoshop and all the programs, and I would use that a lot for a lot of my work. But when I went to work, I would bring my PC laptop with me. But so I used it, and I just hated it. I mean, I just don't like Windows. I'm just not a fan of it.
It's true that a lot of people who use Windows use it because they have to, not because they necessarily choose it.
Yeah, exactly. And so, it's nice to work more and more on a Mac. Even now, I have to work on a PC at work because our whole network, they don't want me to plug my Mac into the network.
Oh, interesting. They're worried about Mac viruses.
Actually, I think the Mac doesn't want to get plugged into a Windows network either. It's like, oh, don't contaminate me.
No. That's funny. Yes, they won't let you plug your Mac into the corporate network?
Well, it's not just my Mac. It's any personal computer. So, but right. Here's the good news is that there's a total separate network connection that goes to the outside that Brian McKechnie, who I work closely with, we actually share that and use that for our computers because we both bring our Macs in. So, you know, Brian has his laptop. I have my Mac laptop. And so we're the only two Mac users with their laptops in the newsroom.
In the whole newsroom, you're the only Mac users?
Yeah, in the actual
That's nice, though. You have that whole net to yourself. We used to do that at Tech TV, there'd be the corporate net, but we call it the dirty net, which was the wide open net that we would use. I know it's kind of an apt name, but it was a wide open net we'd use for the TV show because we didn't want to be limited by what the corporate net allowed.
Right.
So we needed a full wide open access network. And I think that's pretty much what we do on Call for Help. There's the Rogers network, and then there's the dirty net that we use on the show.
Well, yeah, we used to do that at Call for Help all the time. We had a total separate network, which was great because we could then download. We had to download programs all the time, and so we didn't have to go through IT or anything. So that was perfect.
It's good to be the geeks in a place like that.
It is.
Amber, I have to ask, was Mikey getting choked up there as he was saying goodbye?
We're talking about the last Mike's last episode of Command, and it was the last episode that aired, although you should have a new one out any minute now, tomorrow, right?
Yeah, it should be. It'll be out tomorrow. Mike was very upset to leave the show, and it was a very sudden thing for us. I had no idea that he was going to go. He told me about it.
He quit.
Before.
You didn't fire him.
Oh, gosh. I don't know. Can you fire people from podcasts?
You know, I've been wondering that myself. There's a few I might want to. Present company is not included, of course.
Wait a second. Steve, we better watch our back. He quit. He decided he wanted to, work on some projects on his own. And, you know, I think that does happen with people is that, you know, he was working on Command N for quite a while and he just felt like, hey, I want to kind of go off and do my own show with a couple people.
Sure.
So, I mean,
Command N was unplanned, just like Twit was. I mean, it wasn't like you said, oh, we're going to build this thing. It just happened.
Yeah, it just happened, and it's been great. And so we did an episode that we shot last week, and so I just did headlines by myself, and then my brother Jeff did a segment, and then Brian did a segment as well. And we'll get guest co-hosts. I think, Leo, you're going to step in and co-host when you come to Toronto.
I am.
I
hope you'll let me. I can't wait. I would love to do that.
It would be an honor for sure. So,
last time I did it, I was drunk, so this time I'll try to be sober.
You were kind of drunk, I have to admit. I actually should try to find that episode right now because
the famous Wighorn episode.
The Wighorn, yes, the Wighorn episode.
But wait, so there's somewhere on there. There's a podcast on the net.
I wasn't drunk. I had one drink, but we were both punchy from being. You know, it's always hard to do anything after a Call for Help.
Yep.
We do three or four shows in one day, and I was just punchy. So
yeah,
I also time change. I mean, it was much later for you than on the West Coast than it is on the East Coast.
This might be a apt time to mention what is happening to call for help, because it is now becoming public knowledge. So we might as well acknowledge it. Rogers, which is the big cable company in Canada, one of the two big cable companies in Canada, produces call for help. They actually do Tech TV Canada, G4 Tech TV Canada, and they were the company that called me and asked me to come up to do call for help 2 years ago. And we've been producing it in a Rogers facility. It's actually where they do Omni Television, which is how would you describe Omni Television, Amber? It's
Omni Television is
it's kind of diversity television.
Yeah, diversity television in Toronto, and they do Biography Channel down at Omni as well, and G4 Tech TV, and it's owned by Rogers, which is a huge company in Canada.
So. It's been produced there. It's, you know, it's been kind of, we've been shoehorned into their existing productions. They do 40 different newscasts a week in 40 different languages. And we get the set only those 4 days that we're doing call for help, or 5 days. And so we have to move the set in, you know, light it, set it up, and then move it out. And it's been kind of hard. It used to be a storage closet, right, where we shoot it.
Yeah.
So it's not the best facility anyway. So they decided that they were going to hire an independent production company to produce Torrent, which is one of the other shows, the one Amber created for Rogers, and Call for Help, and a couple of other shows for G4 Tech TV Canada. This production company happens to be, unfortunately, in Vancouver. So starting, we're going to do two more rounds of taping in Toronto, which is December and January. And then starting in February or March, we'll start shooting the show in Vancouver. So I'm sad to say farewell to Toronto. And I've asked a couple of people to come with me. I don't know if they'll be able to. I don't think they're going to relocate. So it really means also a complete new staff. So Mike, unfortunately, it's kind of a double whammy for Mike. He leaves Command N, and all of a sudden Call for Help leaves him behind. So I feel bad about that.
It's very sad. Yeah, it is really sad. Well, we'll have him. Maybe he'll want to come back and do some guest stuff.
Oh, believe me. Mike can do anything he wants as far as I'm concerned.
Exactly.
I think the world of him. And we can have him on this show. So.
Oh, for sure. And Leo, I have to say something funny. Brian McKechnie, who I mentioned I work with, he just sent me a chat on Google Talk to say that he just posted Command N right now.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
is he listening to the show, or that's just a coincidence?
Yeah, he's listening to the show. No, he's listening to the show.
We should get Brian on. Nobody's ever interviewed Brian before.
I know. He's like the mysterious guy who, like, really, you know, he does a lot of the work both on Command N and at City with me, and he's awesome. He's
fantastic. Wonderful guy. I mean, Command N wouldn't exist without Brian, I think.
Nope.
He's a hard working guy.
And I think he did a segment this week for Command N as well.
Oh, good. So we will see him on camera.
Yep.
So that's CommandN.tv, and you can go there and swap the server right now.
Yeah, episode 70.
I see it. There it is with Amber. Let's play just a little bit of audio from it here. We can hear a little bit of it.
This week on Command N, Xbox DVDs in high def, some great editing tips, and how to blend almost anything.
You know, you look great by yourself. You don't need that Mikey guy.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, I like Command N.
Welcome to episode 70 of Command N. I'm Amber, and as you know, Mikey's decided to move on, and we wish him all the best. We'll be looking for people in Toronto who can help and contribute.
Actually, just north of Queen Street West in Toronto.
I love that area.
Just in a big park. It's a beautiful area.
Yeah.
And then Jeff did a segment in Halifax, and then Brian did his segment on the Xbox HD DVD drive review.
I just got
that. He lives outside of Toronto. Ooh. Oh, really?
I just got that. Yeah, like I said, I went Microsoft this week.
I was wondering if that's why you bought the 360.
Well, it's part of the reason, because, you know, I bought for myself as a present for my 50th birthday a 50-inch TV. I figure 1 inch a year. in 10 years, I'll buy a 60, and when I'm 70, I'll buy a 70-inch TV. And by the time I'm 80, it won't matter anymore because I won't be able to see a thing. So, but I bought a 50-inch TV, and I thought, well, you know, if it's an HD TV, I have an Xbox, but I should get an HD Xbox 360. And the great thing about the 360 is get the game machine, and for another $200, you get an HD DVD player. So I got that. I got Goodfellas. I got it comes with King Kong, and I got Seabiscuit. So I can't wait. The TV comes tomorrow, and I'll be hooking it all up. But I have to say, one thing that has happened that is very interesting this week, my timing was good. Microsoft has started selling TV shows on Xbox Live. They're also selling or renting high def movies. $1.99 for a TV show. I downloaded Studio 60. It looks great. 480p, but it still looks great.
Wow.
And it's $6 for a high def movie. And the movies are big. They're 6 gigabytes. You only have a 20 gig hard drive, so it's not yet practicable. I bet you Microsoft is going to ship a larger hard drive at some point. But
yeah, I think they have to.
It's a great idea. I mean, now you can buy... I'm telling you, the world is changing fast here. iTunes sells TV shows and movies. You can rent movies and buy TV shows at Microsoft's Xbox Live. I think this is starting to really shift away from the networks, shift away from cable.
I think the 360 is designed so that the hard drive can just be slid right out of it.
Snapped out, yeah. So
yes,
it's,
yes. It would be very possible to like get a big one.
Hey, do you want to stick around while we take some calls? This is kind of the time when we play with TalkShoe a little bit and start taking calls from the TalkShoe listeners. You want to join us, Steve?
I'm not. I'm gonna take off. Okay. I just wanted to say hi to you guys
and tell you
that I love the first two shows, and it's so good to hear Amber's voice again.
Oh, I miss you too.
Leo ties us all together, so I'm sure we'll be in the same city at one point.
Best thing about my job is getting to have great friends like you guys. So.
Oh yeah,
take
we'll
care,
have a
you
coffee
guys.
Together soon. Bye. Steve.
Oh, for sure.
She'll have 3 shots. You'll have 5, and I'll just stand there waiting to clean you up off the ceiling. See you guys.
Okay, guys.
See ya.
Thanks.
Bye, Steve. So that's fun to hear from him.
Oh yeah, it's great to hear from him.
Great guy.
And also, just so you know, Leo, Mikey's also listening as well right now. So
is he on Skype?
Yeah, I don't know. I could ask him to jump on.
You want to get on Skype, Mike, and you can cry on our shoulders. You could beg for your job.
No,
that would be mean. I won't do that.
That would be mean.
I wouldn't
so
do that.
Do you want to take some? Should we take some calls?
Let's say hi to French Fry. French Fry, what's your real name and where are you calling from?
Oh, hi there. I'm Jean-Paul. I'm from Ohio.
And you call yourself French Fry because you have a French name?
Yeah.
Are you French? Are you French Canadian?
Yeah, well, no, not French-Canadian, just French-French.
Your parents were?
My family's from France.
Yeah, yeah. Jean-Paul.
Well, yeah.
Bonjour, Jean-Paul. Bonsoir. Comment ça va? He's laughing at my fancy accent. You know, it's funny, when you go to France, the French love the bad French that Americans speak. They think it's cute. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
They think we're cute with our bad R's.
Yeah.
What can we do for you, Jean-Paul? You have anything to share with us, or you just wanted to say hi?
Actually, I do. I have a question that involves both your expertise, Leo, as the host of Call for Help, and I suppose Amber's expertise as a Canadian. Like I said, I live in the United States, so there's really absolutely no way for me to watch Call for Help. And there is, and I won't disclose the address, lest the people who run the site try to hack my computer or something, but there is a BitTorrent tracker out there where you can download Call for Help.
Yeah, cfhtracker.info.
Yeah, I was just kind of wondering, both from Amber's perspective, from like the Canadian legal point, and your perspective, Leo, as the guy on the show still, are you guys okay with that? Is that something that...
If I were to know about it, I'd have to sue you.
Okay.
Leo.
No, I have nothing to do with it, but if Rogers were to... I think they know about it. In fact, I think they sent a letter to the guy, but they have to protect their copyright, so they can't just let you do it. I think they've turned a blind eye to it.
Yeah.
The good news is we are offering it on Google Video, and I was told, although I haven't seen that yet, that it's going to be free on Google Video, so you won't have to, at least in the U.S. Now, if you're outside of Australia and Canada and the U.S., I think the tracker is the only way to get it. I should also say that I suspect part of the reason that we're moving to Vancouver is... we're really going to redesign the show. Obviously, Amber's left, so we have to replace her. It's going to be a very different show, maybe even a different name. And I would say the number one goal of all of us is to get it back on the air in the United States. We couldn't do it from Toronto. I think partly because U.S. networks really see it as a Canadian production if it's from Toronto. But for some reason, if it's from Vancouver, that's kind of like... so many U.S. shows are produced in Vancouver that it's like a U.S. show.
Mm-hmm.
So we're hoping that will appease the networks a little bit. We're really, it's everybody's goal to get the show back on in the U.S.
Yeah, that'd be really great.
I think it's going to be a great show. In fact, I begged Amber to join us because I really would. I think it's going to be a whole different program.
But
she won't do it. No, she's very happy at her job, and I don't blame her. You just took this job. We can't entice you away. But who knows? Maybe a few years from now.
But we are going to work together again. I know Leo.
This is
we have Leo Burr Productions.
I own leoburr.tv, so I don't know what to do with it.
I also had another thing, kind of going back way to the beginning of the show, regarding Flickr. And I think Amber mentioned she used to like to take pictures when she went on vacation. Flickr has something, and they aren't really widely publicizing it. It's at flickr.com/map. And you can actually geotag photos that you take, which is really good if you're going on vacation. You can put in the actual coordinates or addresses of places where you took the picture, and you can zoom in. It's based on the Yahoo Map API and everything, and zoom in right on an address and see photos taken all around that area. So like when you went to Alcatraz, you could actually pinpoint them right there, and your photos would show up if somebody zoomed in on Alcatraz.
It's my hope that at some point cameras will have this built in. I know some do, but it would be great if all cameras had, I mean, GPS is getting cheaper and cheaper, had GPS built in, so it was part of the EXIF information, it would just happen. It turns out, I didn't know this, but a lot of, thank you very much, French Fry, for that. That's cool. That's really great.
Yeah.
Appreciate the call. It turns out that a lot of Flickr photos, more than half, I think, are from cell phones. Did you know that, Amber? I didn't know that.
Huh, I'm surprised.
And so yeah, Flickr has actually got statistics on the most popular cell phones.
Wow, that's pretty amazing.
For camera.
I know what you're talking about, the actual graphs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did a little thing on that on my video blog at City just to talk about the different graphs because they tell you what type of phones, like point-and-shoot cameras people are using as well.
Right.
What type of cell phone is the most popular.
And with Sony Ericsson ranked really high, even though it's not a very high-selling phone.
Yeah.
For some reason, people who have Sony Ericssons take more pictures, I guess, or they use Flickr.
So. Huh, interesting.
We have to talk to Fluffy Bunny 88. I'm sorry, did you want to say something?
Not after you just said Fluffy Bunny 88. Yeah, man. How could I want to disrupt that?
Wait a minute. Before Fluffy Bunny speaks, man or woman? What do you think? I'm betting it's got to be a woman, right?
I think it's a man.
Fluffy Bunny 88.
Yes. Hello.
It's a man! A man! Hello.
Yes.
Why are you named Fluffy Bunny 88? And first of all, what's your real name and where are you calling from?
I'm Richard, and I'm from Little Rock, Arkansas.
Hey, Richard. Why Fluffy Bunny 88?
Well, it's been a name that I've used online for a while. I'm playing a first-person shooter, so it's...
Oh, yeah, see, nobody be afraid of you, right? They come running up to you saying, ha-ha, Fluffy Bunny, and then you give them a little headshot, and they're gone.
Yes. What I wanted to talk to you about was venture capitalism and how to market yourself for a venture capitalist, because I've got some ideas of things that I want to do, but I need a lot of money to do it, and I'm sure that a lot of people do.
How are we going to make Fluffy Bunny rich, Amber?
Well, I think you need to maybe try to build something on your own without a lot of money first.
I agree.
Even if it's like a prototype or something like that, just to get the word out, because I think it's too easy almost for everybody to just say, oh, we want a bunch of money to go and try to build this. I think you have to show some initiative and start to actually build something, especially if it's something on the web, you know, even if you can get up, you know, just sort of a small site and, you know, take some of your earnings and money and kind of throw it at a young, savvy web designer. That would be my advice.
I'd go one step further. I'd say avoid venture capital if you can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, investors take more, you know, they take a chunk. They don't give you money for nothing. And it's not merely a percentage of the company. It's really, to some degree, a control of the company. You know, people have offered to invest in twit.tv, and I've never taken money. I don't need the money. You know, fortunately, we have partners like AOL and Cashfly that donate services that make it possible to do this. And of course, we have a lot of listeners who donate generously, and that pays all the expenses. It's better if you can avoid, don't you think? And I think nowadays it's so cheap to do web design and so cheap to get a website up. You can go pretty far without an investor. The question is, of course, who's going to pay your salary while you're doing it?
Exactly.
But if you do it at night, you know, a friend of mine actually asked me the same question at dinner last night. He's got this great idea. He said, should I go for investors, you know, build a business plan, or should I develop? I said, Ruby on Rails, get a site up. It doesn't have to be the finished product, a polished site. It just has to be a site. And an investor is going to like that too.
Yeah, totally agree.
We have many friends who've taken money and may some of them may regret it. I predict. Door is leet. Is that leet or what is it's 1337?
Yeah. Hello?
Are you Leet Man?
No, I had more to do with my number in my college dorm. Each door had a number. Mine just happened to be 1337.
You're kidding.
No.
Wow.
So I've been using it as my handle ever since.
That's pretty cool. Did anybody besides your fellow geeks get it?
No.
No. No one knew what a cool room you had.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, that's funny.
Yeah, it is.
Where are you calling from? Where are you calling from, Leet?
Los Angeles, California.
Beautiful city.
Beautiful city. I'm a college student at Cal Poly. In fact,
oh wow.
One of the things we're doing is we're working on getting a net radio station on for the student body.
Cool.
So yeah. Well, I just wanted to call and say thanks for the tweet because, you really made the commute a lot easier for me.
Really? You've learned something from tweet? Like what not to do, right?
In fact, glad you had Steve Gibson on because I wanted to thank him because your podcast, I was doing a job search committee. We were looking for a position on campus that had to do with net security. So I had to brush up on my knowledge.
That's awesome.
Well, yeah,
what's your real name, Leet?
Paul Gutierrez.
Thank you, Paul.
Out of Los Angeles.
We're really glad you listened.
All right. Thank you.
Hey, thanks.
Thanks.
It's great to talk to you. Arthur 3867. Hello, Arthur 3867. How are you today? What's your real name? Where are you calling from?
Arthur Kessler, and I'm calling from Acme, Alberta.
You're calling from Acme, Alberta. Where how cold is it?
Negative 24.
What?
Negative 24 degrees Celsius.
No.
No.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
We're in winter.
Is there any snow on the ground?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
There has to be snow on the ground.
Wow. Negative 24. Doesn't it? Celsius and Fahrenheit meet at negative 40. So if we're just a little bit colder, we'd know exactly how cold it was here in the States.
Are you sure he didn't say negative 3 or 4?
What is it? Is it negative 3 or 4, or is it negative 24?
Negative 24.
See?
Oh, negative 24. Okay.
See? It's cold.
Wow.
Well, I hope you're inside, Arthur.
Yeah, I'm inside. I don't keep my computer outside, and that's for a good reason.
Can you step outside for a minute?
I got a window right in front of me. I'll open it up.
Just open it up. I want to see what negative 24 feels like. Wow, Amber. Have you ever been in... You must have. You're Canadian. You've been in negative 24.
Oh, yeah.
That's balmy to you, right?
Oh. Well, you just need a good parka, Leo. That's all.
I got a parka. I got a toque.
Yeah.
I got a muffler.
Toronto rarely would even get to that temperature.
Hey, I got a celebrity death beeper. Wait a minute. Let me see. I subscribe, to the celebrity death beeper. Do you know about that?
Oh, my goodness. No.
Yeah. I will get on my BlackBerry, whenever any celebrity dies, I get an instant message on the celebrity death beeper. This is Well, sometimes it's really obscure people. I think it's kind of a little bit obscure right now. Let me just see what the website is. It's celebritydeathbeeper.com, amazingly enough. There's also deathbeeper.com. Primal Fear author Deal dies. I don't know who that is. So if you ever, want to know who's dead.
Wow, Leo.
Yeah. It's, this way you know right away when somebody's dead. So Arthur, did you freeze? Are you still there? Oh, I should never have told him to open the window.
Great. You just killed one of our listeners.
It's frozen solid.
That's not good, Leo.
Dane says, call him back in the spring. We may have thawed out. Oh,
that's
my God. Did we lose him?
I think so. Yeah.
He went outside. Okay, look, guys, you don't have to do everything we say.
Leo, we just killed someone.
No, wait a minute. He's still there. Hey, David, are you back?
Hey, Leo.
Yay, we can hear David now. Go ahead, David.
Hi. Well, I'm enjoying your podcast, first of all.
Thank you.
Great work.
It's kind of strange, isn't it? It's kind of a weird podcast.
It's interesting. I'm enjoying TalkShoe, actually. It's
just different.
Concept.
Yeah, it's a concept. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know whether. What do you think, Amber? You love doing this, don't you?
Well, yeah. I just think it has so much potential to really, get moving. Like we can start taking more calls all the time and just have it really fast paced. And
that's the problem. It's not. It's because of the technical issues. It's not that fast paced yet.
Yeah, but we could get there. Like, if we start right at 9 and end right at 10, and we plan, out to have more calls, and the client gets better, I think it's I mean, it's
we'll
do great.
It. We'll do it. Well, I'm going to get you an ISDN line. That's really going to be the key, because then we'll be
exactly.
Yeah, then we'll be able to boom, boom, boom. All right, David, go ahead.
So there is a website that I wanted to bring to your attention, and it's a grid computing website that allows people to contribute their unused computing cycles for the good of mankind.
Excellent.
Which is always cool.
There are a lot of these. There's SETI at home, which really doesn't do anything for the good of mankind. It just looks for aliens. But there's
right.
also Intel has a really some great stuff. There's folding at home, which I think is a good cause. What's the one you'd like to share with us?
It's worldcommunitygrid.org.
Okay.
And there's a number of projects that run under that program to do cancer research and AIDS research and,
cool.
and such. And they've got a really neat client I found. And what I find neat about it is it runs at very low priority, so it never gets in your way. But if
we should explain. It's the kind of thing that runs in the background when your system is idle. It takes over and does some stuff. But as soon as you start using it, is it a screensaver or is it just something running in the background?
You can run it as a screensaver or just have it running in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And if you run it on a laptop, it's smart enough to know that when you're running on battery, it suspends itself as well, so it doesn't use up your battery.
Good. I got something to do with my Vista laptop now.
Yeah, yeah.
Turn on it completely, Leo.
Yeah, I think I just leave it on all the time. So what project are you supporting with your spare cycles, David?
I support the whole set.
Okay. So you get to choose.
It randomly picks from whatever set of projects are running at that time.
There's a genome comparison project, a help defeat cancer project, the human proteome folding project. Fight AIDS at Home project. That's really neat. Really neat. This would be a good story for you, Amber, on City News International, I think.
I know. It sounds great.
Good. Maybe you've done a world of good, David. You've at least let a couple of hundred people know.
Well, that's great. Thank you.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it. I think
that's
a very good use, really. I've got to remember to do that on all my computers.
It's such a great idea.
Do they have a Mac client? That's the question. No, I'll just put it on my Vista machine. Amber, we should wrap this up because I know you want to listen to Strombo.
Leo, I can podcast forever. I can't stop blogging and I can't stop podcasting.
I love this girl. I love it. She just she can't stop podcasting. You're just like me, Amber MacArthur.
I don't know. You've created a monster, basically. Like right now, you know, Command N's being posted right now.
It's great. Don't you feel the vibration, the excitement?
Net at night. I do a video blog at work. I do a daily segment. I just can't stop.
She can't stop. All right, well, let's do a couple more. I don't want to go too long because, of course, there's Geek Riot coming up right after this.
Okay, and I have to say CommandN.tv is up now and ready to be watched. No, everything's up, though. Brian has all the links up and everything. So
oh, yeah.
I think it's pretty cool that he's doing this while we're chatting.
Good man. You look great on this show. I was just watching it. It's fantastic. Command N. And you use Hipcast, or he uses Hipcast to embed the video in there.
Yeah. We use YouTube as well sometimes, and that's pretty good. So we kind of mix it up a little bit.
I don't know. How does he find the time to do this? Didn't he just get married, too?
Yeah.
What does his wife say?
I think, she has a good job. She's busy as well, so she's great, too. Barb's awesome.
If you marry a geek, this is going to happen to you.
It's going to happen to me? I'm going to be doing all this stuff?
No, not you in general. Just in general, this is what happens when you marry a geek. They spend a lot of time on the computer.
Oh, I thought you were talking about if I married
not
a geek,
you personally.
I would start being like this. And I'm thinking, I'm never going to find anyone who
does
as much as I do.
No, you should marry somebody who has no interest in computers at all.
Really?
To balance your life.
But then
he'll always be kvetching. No, what you want is like somebody who cooks all the time and cleans. And
yeah, that would
basically
be
you need a wife.
Pretty much. All right. On that note, Leo, let's take
Geek
another call.
Impact. Welcome to Net at Night. Where are you calling from? He must be. He must have his head out the window in Alberta. Kane. K A I N. Are you?
Kane. It's Richard.
Hey, Richard.
New Caney, Texas. Hi, Leo. Hi, Amber.
It's good to talk to you. Are you named after Kane from Kung Fu Fighting?
No. New Caney. Kane.
You're named after New Canaan.
New Caney, Texas.
New Caney. Oh, that's where you're from. I got it. Okay.
I couldn't think of another handle. So
hey, that works.
Kane.
I always feel like a real square because I never have a good handle. It's always my name. Like,
well, I'm a truck driver for years, and I just went by Kane.
Kane's good.
I'm spelling it wrong, but it'll work.
Was that your CB handle?
It certainly was.
Would you give me a little CB, you know, chatter? Did you do that? You know, breaker 19. This is rubber ducky. That kind of thing?
Breaker, we got a Smokey in there. My marker 175, approaching Knoxville. Northbound side, DN4. How's it looking southbound? Come on.
I love it! That's great, Kane. Are you still driving or are you retired?
I'm retired. Well, semi-retired. I'm driving a hotshot pickup truck in Houston now.
Oh, that's good. My wife's favorite song is 18 Wheels and a Dozen Roses. You ever hear that?
18 Wheels and a... We forgot who the
18 wheels and a dozen roses. Five more miles. Four-day run.
One more
song. Did you on the old-time radio? And it's great because it's a truck driver making his last run. He's about to retire, so he can spend the rest of his life with his honey. Did you do long haul?
Yeah, sure did. Been all states and Canada. Well, didn't make Alaska, didn't make Hawaii, obviously, but did make it up to Ontario. And
did you ever get to Alberta at 24 degrees below?
Fortunately, I was up there in July.
Yeah, no kidding. I once asked a friend of mine.
May have turned that one down if I'd have got that load.
Alberta. Oh, that's the worst, driving in the snow and the ice. And oh, I don't know how they do it.
10-4,
really rubber ducky.
I love this concept, and I just wonder if I'm the oldest guy in the chat. I'll be 65 next month.
I bet you're not, but I'm glad to hear you're on. You know, I think I mentioned this last time. One of the things I love about this is how it crosses all ages.
Yeah. That's why I like Dvorak. I hate to see him go. I think he's the only one around older than I am. At least he looks.
He's not older than you. Wait till I tell him. No, I think he's still in his 50s, Kane. I hate to tell you.
Oh, well, okay.
But he's led a rough life.
Yeah, well, I understand.
Hey, it's great to talk to you, Kane. I appreciate the breaker. What do you say on the CB when you're done and you're going to say goodbye and you're like, you're off the road? What do you say then?
Oh, 1-1-10-8. I'll catch you in the morning. 10-4.
10-4, rubber ducky. This is I need a CB handle. What's my CB handle, Amber? I need a.
Oh, I'll think of one for you.
You'd be Amber Mack, right?
Yeah.
You said your friends are now calling you Amber Mack.
Quite a few people, yes.
They didn't used to. I mean, you didn't used to be Amber Mack.
I find it's not so much my close friends are calling me that. Just people I know sort of in the community in Toronto will constantly call me Amber Mack all the time. So it's like I've really shortened my last name. My dad doesn't know this, so that's probably a good thing.
But you mean instead of calling you Amber, they'll call you Amber Mack?
Yeah.
Wow, that's interesting.
I know.
But Amber Mack is a person. I mean, there's some character there. There's I can understand that.
Yeah.
That's your handle.
It's my handle. We'll figure out a good trucker handle for you, Leo.
Handle. I need it. Maybe the chat room could come up with a...
We'll get you one.
Somebody says Twiddle D. I had to come up with a gamer tag on Xbox Live because you have a gamer tag. And, you know, somebody has Leo Laporte.
Yeah.
Somebody has Chief Twit. Somebody has Twit Leo. So I had to be Twit Laporte. That's not a very good handle, though, is it?
No. We'll get you a better one.
I need a better one. iScript Netcast. Are you a Netcast on TalkShoe, iScript?
Well, I'm working on it.
Are you a podcast? Hopefully. But you have a podcast or a Netcast?
I'm still actually in the process of starting one. That's
cool.
That's what it's going to be about, though, is Apple scripting and some concepts I'm coming up with, because I don't see anything out there for developers. So
that'd be fantastic.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. So still working on getting it up. I'm hoping to get everything started and to roll probably around the first of the year, actually.
Well, good luck. I think everybody should do a podcast.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'd love to do more than just one, but I don't have time right at the moment.
Oh, no. Time. What?
Leo does 100. He doesn't have time.
I'm also, you know, working full-time and going to school full-time, so... You know, and then trying to maintain a geek lifestyle is hard to do.
You know, you're not sacrificing enough.
This is a sign we should wrap up the show soon, Leo. We're lecturing our callers.
You gotta do
you
more.
Need to podcast more.
Podcast more. You're not doing enough. All right, we will wrap this up. Good luck, iScript, with your netcast, and we thank everybody. You know, we have a traditional way we end this program. You know how we
it.
Do that, right? Any final thoughts, Amber, before we do that?
Well, we should just maybe, you know, next Sunday we're going to be on, and I think, like you said at the beginning of the show, Kevin Rose is going to be on with us, which will be really fun.
That's exciting. I've talked to Kevin, and he said, yes, he's going to do it. So, you know, why don't we just use Kevin the whole hour? And what we'll do is we'll bring Kevin on right at the beginning, and we'll start taking calls halfway through. So there, get your questions ready for the founder of Dig.com and the creator of System and Revision 3 and all of those great video podcasts.
Yeah, so we'll do the second half of just, you know, take, and maybe we can try to take a lot of calls, because I'm sure a ton of people will want to call in and ask questions.
I like
maybe not to us, maybe to Kevin.
I like taking the calls, and it's really fun, and I'd like to take more of them, and we will. I'll tell you what, let's give everybody who's online, all 13 of you waiting to talk, there are 44 total people in the chat room, let's give you all a chance to say goodnight. I'm going to unmute you all, and ladies and gentlemen, we want to say to everybody, thanks for joining us. And we'll see you next time. Good night from Net at Night. That was a beautiful thing. I think I'm going to cry right now. Good night, everybody.
Oh, my goodness.